Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Well, so today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the holiday of Thanksgiving on November 23rd, 2017. We will discuss the importance of gratitude in the process of becoming divine. Listen as Swami explains the role of food in human development and how to keep it in perspective. Like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. Pray on prana and get the best return on your efforts. Nothing delivers like the life force. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and awaken in divine likeness. So Swami, what I thought I would do today is maybe just give a little bit of a history about Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving Day is a celebration of giving thanks for the harvest and blessings of the past year. It's a day of giving thanks to God for His many blessings and expressing our gratitude to friends and family members. It's celebrated in the United States, and Thanksgiving Day dates back to the Reformation period, and it's accompanied by prayers, special ceremonies, and feasts. Thanksgiving is observed on the fourth Thursday in November of each year. So just a couple of Thanksgiving Day facts and quotes for everybody out there. The very first Thanksgiving Day feast was held in 1621 between the Plymouth colonists and the Wampanoag Indians. In 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be held each November. And then on 1941, President Franklin D. Roosevelt established the fourth Thursday, November, as the official Thanksgiving Day. So, Swami, I looked up the definition for Thanksgiving, and what came up was the expression of gratitude, especially to God. So why don't you start us off in talking to us about Thanksgiving Kriya Yoga style?
Yeah, I think that whole thing of Thanksgiving and especially for God would be good advice, especially if you are looking to awaken in His light, come in harmony with divine law seeking expression. And the whole attitude of gratitude, I think, is one of those feelings that keep us closer to the creative principle. And especially when you start to understand that this ongoing war between good and evil, life and death, light and darkness, the more we can participate with living our lives in a positive state, living our lives moving forward in life, the difference between surviving or growing, and trying to get in harmony with a lifeward movement. And again, a positive feeling state gets us closer to that as opposed to further away into the realms of darkness or death, any kind of discord from what is moving lifeward and forward. And so the whole thing of gratitude and thanksgiving, and especially for having awareness of God's loving grace pouring out continuously for us, and not just the second Thursday of every November, but every moment of every day that we have the benefit of this life-sustaining force. But to have a sense of awareness of it and have a feeling of gratitude for it is optimal in human development.
I've been doing a lot of reading on gratitude myself recently, and I downloaded this app on my phone. It's called a gratitude journal. And what they want you to do every day is to list in your journal three things that you're grateful for every day. And if you're having trouble trying to, you know, find three things, you can actually go to the part of the app and it will actually give you a bunch of ideas that you can select that you can be grateful for. And it really is amazing that they've come up with just like the simplest of things to be grateful for that we just take for granted, you know. And so the whole idea is that, you know, if you keep doing the journal, you gain points, and they're trying to teach you to be grateful and to just define those things that, you know, that we really should be thankful for on a daily basis, and we don't have to wait for that one special day of the year to give thanks.
And I think, again, the whole concept of prana in yoga, the whole thing of having a number one life-sustaining force, is paramount. Because you can be grateful because things are good in your life, but then that's subject to change. And then what do we do when circumstances and situations no longer support my concept of what is good? And that's where the practice of Kriya Yoga establishes you in a value system where you're not looking for just anything, but you're looking for something very specific. That if you have your number one need, if you have what it is that you can live the least without, then you have an attitude that you're happy, that your sense of well-being is completely established based on the availability of what you really do need. And that will sustain the feeling of gratitude indefinitely, so that you don't have to continue to upgrade your values and keep things on. In fact, after a while, you start to get rid of all the unnecessary things so that you can focus on what is necessary. But the main thing that you want to do is sustain that feeling of thanksgiving.
You know, I was just thinking how interesting that we call it thanksgiving and not giving thanks. Like, I wonder why that it's not called giving thanks. Because you think that that's what it's all about, is to be grateful and to give thanks for the things that we do have, or even if it's the little things or even if it's the big things, and to be thankful for God for providing for us.
Right. And then just like what you said, it's thankful for God for providing for us, meaning I'm thankful for all of these things, which then would be more of thanks for taking instead of thanks for giving. On a very fundamental level, to understand the difference between a secular approach to life and a spiritual approach to life, connection to the realms of spirit, this indivisible unified field, the life force, this particular unified state, the only thing that we can do is give. That if we are competing for energy, it usually implies that we are in an inferior source of sustenance, that we're in duality, where there are two forces. And then, of course, we're competing for energy on a limited level. But we're not in the realms of abundance. We're not in the realms of endless possibilities. When you have this relationship with spirit, then you understand divine love. You understand unconditional giving. But you also understand universal abundance. Your resource is inexhaustible. So even, say, for example, the whole concept of generosity. For somebody to give, one of the statements that I always grew up with was, to measure somebody's generosity, they would say that they would give you the shirt off their back. Of course, if you analyze that and you break it down, that can have many different meanings. It's one thing to give somebody the shirt off your back when you have 20 other shirts in your closet. There's also another dynamic when you can give somebody the shirt off your back when it's the only shirt that you have. And then to cross-examine it and look at it, on one level, you can be doing this as a control drama, as a form of sacrifice. And that has a certain response to it. From a spiritual response, from somebody who has a sense of connectedness to the infinite abundance of the universe, there's never any sacrifice. That there's always awareness that God provides plenty for all. And from that level of consciousness, that degree of awareness, the only thing that we can possibly do is give. And then this concept of to be thankful for your connection to this inexhaustible resource. And that's different than if what we're doing is what I would refer to as a control drama, where we're competing for energy still on a limited level.
So you're saying that some of us may be motivated to give the shirt off our back or whatever because it does something for us. We're thinking that it, you know, it's not a hash mark underneath our name, so that, you know, if we were to be judged, it, you know, it's a conduct situation and not because we did it because out of kindness, true kindness.
Yeah, or a sense of just service to someone. And not to the extent that I will give up for myself to give to you. That this whole thing of when you have a connection with divine law and your whole sense of self has transcended the limits of seeing yourself as separate, you recognize that we're all one. And really, in giving to others, you're really giving unto yourself. But if you have this sense of connectedness to the abundance of the universe, then like I said, it's never a sacrifice. It's a gesture of loving kindness. And it is given with absolutely no expectation attached to it. With just the feeling of peace, love, happiness, and goodness.
So, Swami, in our summary, we had said that you were going to explain the role of food in human development and how to keep it in perspective. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's important to understand that food is really your number four life-sustaining force. And so when you're structuring your value system, you want to build your values based on the importance. And the way that you determine the importance of an essential need is how long can I live without it? And so when you examine it, we can live weeks without food. We can live days without water. We can live minutes without air. But without the grace of God, without the life force, we expire immediately. So when you restructure your value system and you put food in its position of importance, then what you're basically doing is you're putting most of your sense of well-being on the availability of things that are more important than food, which is your relationship with the divine. And when you have that in its position of importance, and you've internalized it in your body, and you feel connected to it, then this concept of thanksgiving and gratitude becomes part of almost your nature. Because how long do we live without the grace of God? Well, we don't live a millisecond. So if as long as you're alive, you should have this attitude of gratitude. Because divine law is pouring out the life force to you without any limitations whatsoever.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Mm-hmm. Breathe Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Well, welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, my research that I did for the show, I found a couple of quotes on gratitude that I wanted to get your thoughts on. And one of them is by Melody Beattie. And she says, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend." What do you think about something like that, somebody's take on gratitude?
Yeah, I oftentimes have a trouble with sometimes when people assign statements to things and then they have all of these claims and promises and oftentimes can be exaggerated. Then I really think we'd have to understand what she meant by gratitude. Now, of course, if you had what we were talking about in our opening, awakening in the image of divine law, then that to me is what would provide you with all of the positive things that we're talking about. But just gratitude for the sake of gratitude could be misleading. Because like we're saying, I mean, everything here isn't just about attitude and conduct, that it has to be backed by a connection. Having a relationship with spirit, with divine law, with your number one life-sustaining force is what really gives everything power. And then otherwise, it's just, they're just a lot of words, petitions, statements. But if they're not backed by truth, then to me, they don't really have that much power. To tell somebody something like this is you're just giving them advice. But when you can demonstrate that you have a relationship with this inexhaustible resource, then of course, you've got solution to all of the things that most people are struggling with.
So So I think what you're saying is that we don't necessarily want to be grateful for the new car or the new pair of shoes or things. We should be grateful for the fact that we have a relationship with our divinity, that is God that surrounds us with his love, and that's really what we should be grateful for. It's really not the things. It's what we don't see that we need to be grateful for.
Right. And what that basically does is it transfers your allegiance from creation to the creator. It transfers your point of focus from sensual awareness, from thoughts, to this spiritual dimension of reality that is whole, complete, and it has a completely different return than if we still draw from sensual awareness. So what we're basically doing is we're moving our beliefs from material to spiritual. That has an evidence procedure to it. It's a very specific dynamic. The benefits do reveal themselves. To start to assign those benefits to when you are still drawing from an inferior source of sustenance can be misleading. Because then, like you say, I'm grateful because of all of the things that seemingly God is giving me. But in reality, what we want to do is we want to change our focus to a relationship with the Creator, with God itself, and then to have gratitude for the simple fact that we now have awareness of this, that now you can see God's love encircling the universe, supporting all humanity and filling all space, which then, when it permeates your consciousness, now all of a sudden you can love with Christ-like compassion. And that is what demands the expression of divine law. So now all of a sudden you start to see the beauty of holiness. You start to see the perfection of being.
So I was saying earlier that how some of us, we are grateful for things. And it made me think, as you were speaking about how we pray and then how we pray for things. To me, it's kind of like the same thing, you know, just on different sides of the equation. Maybe we should be praying for the guidance that we get from our divinity, praying for those things as opposed to praying for things, and then being grateful for our divinity as opposed to being grateful for things.
Yeah. The whole thing of praying, even the way that we describe it, is P-R-E-Y. You are leaning on this sustaining infinite, this source of sustenance, and that you're using it to validate yourself. You're using it as a source that is telling you that you're okay, that you're good enough, and that it's very dependable. But it's also the unified state. It's a different source of sustenance, and it has a different return. And that's the like attracts like. You know, because once we have attention for divine law, then we lose attraction for things. It's kind of like Jesus says, what does it profit a human to gain the whole world but lose your soul? And C.S. Lewis says something really similar. He says, if you aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. If you aim for earth, you get neither. And yet we put most of our attention on things that are visible and tangible, or things that are invisible but tangible. And we don't have attention for what is invisible and intangible. To have sensitivity and awareness of this very subtle source, and then all of a sudden to have gratitude for it. Because the human mind is very complicated. You know, we talk about third house mind related to our senses, and then we talk about ninth house mind, which is really totally associated with spirit, which is invisible, intangible. The mind is a transmitting and receiving instrument, and so you can give or take mentally. Now, when we're in the realms of duality and we're using our senses and we're using thoughts as a means, then typically we are still competing for energy because it's limited. But when we are able to draw our ideas from the realms of spirit, then the only direction that we can have is giving. That we can only give. It's not a give and take. like it is when we are in the dualist dimensions. Once we love the Lord thy God with our heart, our soul, and our mind, then we're in harmony with God's will, which is continuously pouring out peace, love, happiness, and goodness. And it can't pour out, distribute anything other than goodness. And so, therefore, anything that is in conflict with that has to come from the realms of thought. It has to come from human thoughts. It can't come from divine mind.
Speaking of thoughts, I have a quote I want to recite, and then I'll give you my thought about it. So this one is by William Arthur Ward, and he says, "Gratitude can transform common days into thanksgivings, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings." It's kind of like that last quote that I just said, but then I was just thinking about, you know, how you always say that, you know, we can make a heaven out of a hell or a hell out of a heaven. It all depends on how we decide to think about something. So change how you think about it. So like turning routine jobs into joy, well, you have to change how you think about your job, right? And that even doing that could change that from a routine job into joy. And I understand that. That's one way that you could do it, would be to change how you think.
Right. The interesting thing about that is that we can change our beliefs and we can change our thoughts, but it could go on indefinitely. But they're merchandise of human thought, which means that they're typically fallible and they can contain error. And they're not the outgrowth of divine law. They're not the outgrowth of divine intelligence, which is infallible. And it is always perfect. It is ever satisfying. And it is always successful. So there's a whole benefit that comes from this dimension of spirit. The causal spiritual body can only cast, you know, a corresponding shadow, which whatever comes from the Creator is perfect.
You know, I have another quote here from Oprah Winfrey, and she says, "Be thankful for what you have, you'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never ever have enough." But I like the first part of that, because be thankful for what you have, you'll end up having more. And I don't think she necessarily means in a material sense. I think she's talking about, at least how I'm perceiving this quote, is that if you're thankful for what you have, then you understand that you don't need more. I mean, you're happy with what is around you. You found the joy. You have God as the pilot, and you're in the co-pilot seat.
I think it's what we were talking about earlier, the whole thing of the value of a positive feeling state and how that keeps us closer to the creative principle. So it keeps us open to endless possibilities. It's when we're negative and we're removed from the creative principle and we're shut down from endless possibilities that we're talking about. So maintaining that positive feeling state keeps us where the channels are open to divine law. And the more harmonious we can maintain that relationship, the happier we'll be.
So I guess it's about that time that we start closing down our program. So listeners, I'd like to invite you out there to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this show or give us ideas for future shows you'd like us to do. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to be talking about some astrological happenings that that are going on that next week. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And next week we'll talk about the moon conjunct Neptune and sextile Pluto. And also we're going to talk about the first quarter phase of the moon for the solar eclipse that happened on February 26th. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.